What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter, and it's Thursday, one of my favourite days of the week. Not only is it my favourite day because it's a good day to go out in New York City, Thursday's the day, this is a little secret. If you come to visit New York, if you live in New York, you probably know this. Thursday's the night that all the New Yorkers go out. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we love the tourists, we love people from out of town, but it's not necessarily a New York night. If you want a New York night, Thursday's the night. But the other reason, the real reason I love Thursdays, is Loopy Lou joins us. Hey, Loopy, are you there?
Oh, Loopy Lou is here. Hi, Rob.
Hey, loop, loop, loop. We've got a lot of gossip to get to today, so yes. Let's jump right in. What time is it, my friends? It is tea time. Okay, big story, shocking story at the top of the show. So Jennifer Lopez has repackaged her tour. She's going on tour. It's not doing very well, Mark. She's had to cancel some dates. Ticket sales are not selling well. She's rebranded it. Smart move. The Greatest Hits Tour. So originally, this tour was called the This Is Me Now. That's her new album. Didn't do very well. So everybody's like, didn't really like the album. Is she going to sing all the songs, the new songs from an album we don't know? No, thank you. We won't go. It's very expensive. Well, she's realised that. Jennifer's a smart lady, let me tell you. So now, instead of this being the This Is Me Now album we don't care about tour, this is now called The Greatest Hits Tour. Live, The Greatest Hits Tour. And it's going to showcase now all her hits, all of them, Mark. So not only the fabulous dancing and the costumes, but J-Lo has some big hits. Waiting for Tonight, come on, fabulous. You gotta do the hits. My sources are telling me she's learnt this lesson from Madonna. A couple of years ago, Madonna went out on tour and it didn't do so well. Now Madonna is out doing the hits. I saw her, Mark. It's fabulous. Hit after hit, like a virgin. Hit after hit after hit after hit. And the place is on fire. She's selling out. I think this is a smart move, Mark, but is it too late?
Oh. Well, listen, I mean, I love Jennifer Lopez. I will say this. I watched the documentary that she just put out recently.
Fabulous.
It was fabulous. But, like, I also don't care to listen to the new album. I don't have any interest in kind of finding out what the songs are about. However,
Ben,
I went to J-Lo's last concert, which was in 2019 at MSG. And, you know, that was her kind of her big peak. It was like her 50th yes. birthday. She had Hustlers, mm-hmm. the movie. We all cared. It was the Super Bowl. And then something changed in the pandemic. We kind of lost interest. I don't know what happened, but the world has changed and we kind of moved on in a weird way. I will say this. At the concert, when the hits are on, you are dancing, you are excited. But as soon as she does music that you don't know, I was in the bathroom, I was topping off my drink, I was just doing on my phone. I just kind of lost interest.
Mark, I'm almost worse. Like when I go to see somebody live and they do one of the new songs, I'm really disappointed. I go and buy a hot dog. Like, I could get fat on some of these artists because all they do is the new songs. I'll let you do one or two.
Right.
But, you know, you have to be careful. You have to slip them in. You can't open with a new song or close. You got to close with one of the big hits, yeah. Copacabana. Holiday, something. Like a prayer.
Something.
I don't want a new song at the end of the show or at the beginning, but in the middle of the show. If you want to slip in, just one, maybe two.
Right.
New songs. I'll pretend that I'm interested. But to build a whole tour around a new album that nobody bought based on love songs to Ben, mm-mm. That's what's happened here, Mark. We've moved on. I think 20 years ago, we were so wrapped up in Bennifer. The whole world was Bennifer mad. Going back to it 20 years, not for Jen and Ben, it's good for them, but for the public, I think I'm like, I've been there, I've done it, I've seen it. It's like if they re-release Titanic. I saw it 20 years ago and I've seen it on TV so many times since, I probably wouldn't go back to the cinema to see it. I wouldn't pay money to see it. And so I think going back to Ben as the foundation of this album was such a mistake. And also too, let's be honest, I don't think we love them as a couple as much as what we wanted to. This is not Kelsey and Taylor Swift, who we love.
Right, we're
really
right.
Into them. There's something a little off with Ben and Jennifer. He always looks so grumpy on the carpets. When I see them together, he looks a bit moody. They always look like they're just about to have a fight or they've had a fight. And so I think, Jennifer, go back to what we love, which is you in a Versace dress, green, mm-hmm. shaking your bonbons like you're Ricky Martin, mm-hmm. and all the hair flying everywhere. Dare I say, get a stripper pole like you did at the Super Bowl. Controversial.
Yes. Yes.
But that Super Bowl on that pole, Mark. Oh, watching her slither up and down. I'd pay good money to see that live.
Me too. You know, I so agree, Rob. And I think too, Jennifer and Ben, they're just now, they're older, more mature people, and we expect them to be in a different place. We don't want to see this, like, grumpy fighting, like almost like you're tolerating each other. We want to see like passionate love, and like I think we're seeing that more, like you're saying, with Kelsey and Travis Kelsey and Taylor Swift. Like they're really deeply in love. Yeah,
they remind me a little bit of Harry and Meghan. We were really into them for a while, and now I think Harry and Meghan have decided to really go their own ways business wise.
Mm-hmm.
They have separated the house of Sussex, and he's doing his things with the charity, and she's doing her things with the Gwyneth Paltrow goopy goopy goop, and they've gone in different directions because as a couple, it wasn't working. All their projects that they were doing together just were not doing very well, but separately, his book did well. I hope her fragrances and all the stuff she's doing does well. I would say, if you're listening, Jennifer, hello, 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 if you're listening, you do you, Ben does Ben, and you have a perfect relationship in between, and we don't need to know anything more about it.
I would say less is more, too, adding to that.
Less is more.
We don't want to see all the details. Like, give some mystery, you know?
Yes, that's a really good suggestion there. So, you know he's going to be on this tour with her. Ugh, he'll be up there dancing next to her. You know, he won't be able to help himself. He's so bossy boots. I know. If we're watching J-Lo and out comes a male dancer and it's Ben, I don't think I want to see that. I want to see a really hot guy with abs, don't you? I want all these men around J-Lo with their hair blowing in the wind. That's the look we want. But it looks as if Jennifer is going to be doing that, which brings us to our poll question of the day. Jennifer Lopez has rebranded her tour, which was not selling tickets. Let's be honest. It wasn't selling. She's great live, but for some reason, this was not selling. So she's rebranded it the Greatest Hits Show. Clever. Do you think this will help? Will this help? Or are we just over her? Go vote on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. Hey, Loopy, what are you working on?
Let's talk about someone who is selling tickets to their concert.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift's mom, Andrea, was originally against her now signature red lipstick. A makeup artist has revealed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so celebrity makeup artist Gucci Westman revealed that the story behind Taylor Swift's iconic red lipstick. Now, according to Westman, she was doing Swift's makeup for the April 2009 Allure cover when she realized that Swift had never worn a red lip before.
Huh.
Despite Westman's desire to give Swift a bold red lip, she needed approval from Swift's mom, Andrea Swift, beforehand. Andrea initially expressed hesitation, stating that Taylor didn't wear red lipstick. However, after some convincing from Westman, Andrea agreed to let Taylor try the bold new hue. And from that moment on, Taylor Swift's signature red lipstick became an integral part of her look. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it. A couple of things here. Yeah. One, just a chance meeting with a makeup artist, with somebody, can change your life a little bit. I can't imagine Taylor now without that red lip. It really is her signature move. Has that ever happened to you? Recently, after the pandemic, a friend of mine who works in the world of fashion took me shopping at a store that I would never go to. I always wore black t-shirts or black jeans. I was always in black mark. And it just was like my uniform. And it was easy. I didn't have to make any choices. And my friend was like, there's this lovely store and I can get you a discount. Well, that was music to my ears. So I said, I love a discount. But everything was quite bright, or much brighter than what I was used to. And I started to wear some colours and I really enjoy it. And to get out of your comfort zone and to change your hairstyle, to change your lipstick, to change your clothes, I get it's a big deal, but you might find something you really, really like. So I adore the fact that this happened by chance. When you think of Taylor Swift, you think of $1 billion. We can say that officially now because Forbes have announced Taylor as a $1 billion artist. So Taylor now is a $1 billion brand, and a chance meeting changed her perception, changed the way she looks. So I love that. Never, ever, noughties, when a chance comes along, it might today, give it a try. You can always take it off if you don't like it, but give it a try. Be open for new things. And I do like, too, that back in 2009, Andrea, Taylor's mum, was the boss. You couldn't do anything unless Taylor's mommy approved. Not so much now. Taylor's really the boss of her own kingdom now. But back then, mommy was really, really important. She was at every shoot. She was the manager. I like all this.
You know, it's funny. I was an intern at Regis and Kelly in 2008, and Taylor Swift was the guest, and her parents were there, and they were like surrounding her every move. They had to approve the rehearsal. They had to, you know, approve her outfit. So it is true. Like, she was very much, you know, connected to her mom in that era.
In this world and what we do for a living, Mark, we see so many young people out there, Lindsay Lohan, whose parents are not protecting them, Britney Spears. And so I think, you know, Taylor's mom has the reputation of being a little bit of a helicopter parent, let's say that, always involved. Yeah. But the other alternative is you get Dina Lohan. Who do you want? And look at the end result. Right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My mom and dad would be the same. If I was a young pop star, if I was somebody that was a young person in the music business, my mom would be by me every step of the way, just to personally make sure everything was kosher, because we know that business can be really, really nasty. So I love this. A chance encounter, noughties. I want someone today to wear a red lip. Mark, maybe you.
Maybe.
Okay. Moving along. Sarah Jessica Parker says that she lets her daughter eat as much sugar as they want. So she's taking a different approach to food with her daughters compared to her own upbringing. Mm. So the actress wants her twin daughters, Tabitha and Marion, to have healthy relationship with food that Sarah didn't have. She explains that she didn't want her daughters to view food as the enemy, which she did when she was growing up. And in her home, chocolates and cookies were restricted, which led her and her siblings to indulge in these sweets when they moved out. So to break that cycle, Sarah's decided that her house is going to be stocked with cookies and cakes and treats. And if her daughters want a cookie, they have one. And I think sometimes this is very smart. I think that if you're in a home where alcohol is around, maybe you don't abuse it as much as the kids, where it's completely cut off. I know with children, I know at least with me, the best way of making me try a cigarette or have a drink was telling me I couldn't. Mm. Actually talking about food, talking about sugar, talking about alcohol, I think it's a good idea. What do you think?
I agree. And I think oftentimes parents project their own insecurities and problems onto their kids. And so I love that Sarah recognized that it could be a problem and allow their kids to have that choice to make, you know, a healthy, balanced, you know, lifestyle where that you can incorporate sugar, but you can also be healthy and do both. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do both. When you were growing up, Mark, your mummy is a dentist, works in a dentist's office. Was sugar around? Was it banned? Was there cookies in the house?
Soda was banned from the house. So I've actually never had a glass of soda in my life. I just never had interest in it. However, you know, sugar was limited, and then I would try to binge it. I love sugar.
You do so what Sarah said.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, you do what Sarah says. I think this is a very interesting approach, controversial, but I love that Sarah's brave enough to talk about it. Okay, moving along, fans are really upset. Cher fans are really upset with Jennifer Hudson saying she disrespected Cher. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so it seems like there's some controversy surrounding Jennifer Hudson's performance with Cher at the iHeartRadio Awards, particularly regarding a high note she hit at the end of the rendition of Believe. So some fans of Cher felt that Hudson's vocal embellishment overshadowed Cher during her moment accepting the Icon Award. The performance apparently drew criticism from some viewers who felt that Hudson's powerful note was unnecessary and potentially upstaged Cher. And it appears that some fans felt Hudson's moment took away from the spotlight that was meant to be Cher's. Ooh. Big moment on her tribute. What do you think, Rob?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Cher doesn't care about this. She's Cher. It's Cher's song. You know, I could get up there and sing Madonna's Like a Prayer better than Madonna. I couldn't, but I could try. It wouldn't make any difference. It's her song. Yeah. It's her song. And so Cher on stage singing one of her greatest hits. No singer, no matter if you're Pavarotti, nobody's going to outperform Cher. You might outsing her, but you're not going to outperform her. Cher would say this is all silly. I know her a little bit. She's really, really fun. But she's also too really confident, Mark. This is somebody who's Cher. She doesn't care. I'm Cher. Like, I think she's very aware of the fact of who she is. And so if Jennifer Hudson wants to sing a few high notes, girl, knock yourself out. They're still going to love me more. Like, I just stay in your lane, everybody. Make sure that you don't let what other people are doing affect you, because really, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. Nobody left that show saying, who was that lady standing next to Jennifer Hudson? It was Cher.
Right, and she was fabulous.
Everybody screamed. Silliness. Although Jennifer, she can sing. Ooh, she can sing.
She can sing, and sometimes she does the most, but we love her. And it's a good lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. Little extra there. It was a little extra.
Just a little
but
bit.
Maybe Jennifer felt insecure standing next to Cher and thought, oh, I've got to bring out the big notes. I mean, like, you never know.
I would, but you know, you said, it's Cher is Cher, and that's kind of
it. Is Cher. Yeah. It is Cher. And it was her award, Jennifer. Yeah. It was really Cher's award. It was not your moment. But nevertheless, when you've got that talent, I guess you want to use it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Shooter.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton.
Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
My dear friend Mark Lupo. Hey, Loopy, let's get to the polls. Last show, we talked about Andy Cohen finally apologising for spreading conspiracy theories about Kate Middleton. He did this before she diagnosed that she has cancer. Our question was, should Kate accept it? Let's have a look. 20% said yes. Most of you said no. I think you just don't like Andy here, or at least what Andy did. He's such a troublemaker. He's so naughty. Also, to me, it was weird that he waited so long to apologise. It was because his show was off. He was on hiatus and so. But Andy, you have millions of people that follow you on Twitter, on X. I don't know. I think I'm with the majority here. Kate, you know, it isn't as if Kate shouldn't forgive him. Kate couldn't care less what Andy Cohen has to say. Yeah?
Kate does not care. And I think he should have...
She doesn't care.
It's too late. He should have just moved on and not said anything.
She doesn't care. No. She doesn't care. Okay, don't forget to vote on today's poll. Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob, or our Facebook page, which is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now, oh, I love this story, our nicest... Of the day.
Ow. It's wedding bells for Don Lemon. Ding dong. Don Lemon, the former CNN anchor, will be marrying his longtime partner Tim Malone this weekend in New York City. Ow. The couple, who have been engaged since 2019, will officially tie the knot in a ceremony at the Polo Bar. Very swanky. The wedding, which has been postponed due to COVID-19, will be a small affair, and Don, who is 58, and Tim, who is 39, will be joined by a limited number of guests.
I love it. Oh, at the Polo Bar. I was told originally this was going to be a huge wedding, a big wedding in the Hamptons. I broke first that Don was getting married at the top of the year in April, so it looks like I'm right. I've got a few days to wait, but I think I'm right about this. I was told initially it was going to be a much more Don Lemon, over-the-top, fabulous diva-type wedding. Now it has been reduced a little bit, much smaller now, intimate friends at a beautiful restaurant in New York. Don, we send you our best. Tim, congratulations. Ah, a beautiful story. Our nicest of the day, and now our naughtiest of the day. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Jill Zarin is being called out about her rude behaviour on the Bravo show Below Deck. So Jill was on the show, and she was awful. She just was just so rude. But I think, too, this is part of the show. You know, I got asked to be on this show, not like on the boat as a crew member, but as a guest. But Bravo's producers made it very clear. They wanted me to be a British, rude gossip columnist who was horrible to the staff. And then they could get all this great footage of the staff reacting to a monster. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to just sit there being vile. Jill can't help herself. When you put a camera in Jill's face, she'll do whatever you want. I should also add too, Bravo doesn't really like Jill. They don't like you, Jill, so you're never going to get a good edit. Like, you're always going to be the villain. So there's nothing you can do here, Jill, to ever come across as well. I don't know if Jill really cares about this. She's issued a statement. It was a funny statement about it. I think Jill is probably just happy that we're talking about her again.
Ooh. I mean, you know, listen, Jill's a nice person. And you know, like, if you know her in real life, she's very pleasant. And it's like, I think she's in on the joke, but she just loves attention. She loves being on TV. So whether it's, you know, she looks like a villain or not, she's going to be there.
She wants to be there. Yeah. So maybe Jill wins after all. I know it is the day. Let's end with a moment of Rob. You get a Rob. I realized a few days ago that I have been actively blocking happiness in my life. There is happiness all around me, all around you, every single day. But you block it. And I think the secret to being happier is realizing that you have to let happiness in. When I see a cute doggy walk down the street, I stop and I smile. I let it in. I'm not too busy. When I walk past the bakery and I want a cookie, I go in and buy one and I enjoy every bite of it. And I stop for a second. Now when I enjoy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, I actually sip it. I don't gulp it. Take your time, everybody, and find those moments of happiness that are all around you. Goodness knows, we're very quick to let in the misery. If something goes bad, we let that right into our minds. But when something nice happens, when somebody opens a door for you, when somebody tells you they like your new sweater, take a minute and enjoy it. Let happiness in. Hey, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the Naughty But Nice Show with Rob and Mark. We let happiness in now, Mark. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Leave us a review if you can. They really do help. And remember, all together now, if you're going to be naughty, you got to be nice. Take care, everybody. Pip, pip.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.